Father, we are so grateful this morning for all that you are accomplishing in our lives. We just praise you, Lord, for all the reality of your presence and your word and your revelation that you have unveiled in each one of us and the work that you're doing in each one of us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather back together again. Amen. I want to start just by reading a verse of Scripture in Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the Amplified says, for even the whole creation, all nature wakes expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. And the reason I want to start with that verse is because last week, as I was thinking about what I'm going to speak on this morning, the Lord dropped this verse in my mind. And then the question comes about the word sons. So I looked it up, and actually the word in the Greek is a son. Christ's body is a many-membered body. Romans 8, verse 19. The body of Christ is made up of many members, but one body. Just like our body is made up of many organs and everything functions and together. And God is going to manifest a son, though it is a corporate son, with one head. He is the head of this body. There's not two heads. He is the head. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18 it says, but now hath God, not man, not your decision or not my decision or my choice, but now hath God set the members, everyone in the body, as it pleased him. The Amplified says, but as it has, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit with the best adaptation. You see, God has always had a people. And he's always had a first fruits people that have been a partaker of that which is to become first. And in the time past, there were, when God moved, many of the revivals, well, even look back to the book of Acts, there was 120 partook of the infilling of the Holy Spirit first. But down through the ages, there has only beginning, every new move of God has always began with a few. Martin Luther. Then on Azusa Street, there was a few that have always partaken of that which is become before it comes. But in this hour, God's first fruit, that God is forming a son to be manifested, to be revealed in the earth, that will set creation free. And that many-membered body in this hour is building, and I don't know whether that's the word to use or not, their personal relationship with the Father. I mean, God's people in this hour are being changed individually. All over this world, there's a people that is hearing the same message that we're hearing, that is being changed and transformed in the same way that we are being transformed in our relation to God. But then there's another relation that I see that is happening. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that every member should have the same care for one another. and in Ephesus, says, so there should be no division or discord or lack of adaption of the parts of the body to each other, but the members all alike should have a mutual interest in and care for one another. And of course, the word schism is a split or gap or division or rent. Now, you know, not only are we entering into that personal relationship with God, but also in this hour, those that are a part of that first fruits company, or those that are a part of those that God has placed His hand upon to be a part of that manifested Son in the earth, is also building their relationships with one another. There is no division. God has brought us to the place where that we see beyond the faults and the failures of each other. I thought about Dottie Rambo used to sing a song, "He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs." God looked beyond. He does not keep a record, according to Galatians, of our sins or our trespasses. Not in pudding. That word in pudding is not keeping a record. So why would we think that we have the authority to try and judge or keep a record between one another? God's fusing us together. We are now the body of Christ. We are now the sons of God. He is building that dwelling place, that temple. He is bringing us to the place of submissive to Himself. But not only to Himself, but to each other. That there is no division in the body of Christ. That corporate body with Christ as the head that will be manifested in the earth will move as one body. There'll be no division. They'll be speaking the same thing, the Word of God, to set creation free. You see, the days of the Lone Ranger is over. You know, everybody out there doing their own thing is over. We are a body. We are one in Christ. We are a many-membered body, but that many-membered body being one. And in that 12th chapter, it talks about the eye saying, well, because I'm the foot saying, because I'm not the eye, I'm not a member of the body of Christ. No. God, in His purpose, before the foundation of the world, and according to His purpose and divine will and destiny, placed each member in the body as He saw fit. As He saw fit. And the fact of the matter is that there is no big I. I know we were talking about a while ago about the pastor or the right reverend or so on, the bishops and all of these names that man has attached to and given authority to and seated on pedestals and lifted up and feel like they are deserving of more than anybody else. I tell you, in this body, there is no big I. Those that are teachers or ministers are servants of the body. Not to be exalted on a pedestal or to be lifted up and for all to see. We are all Christ. We are all a member of that body. And that body, though it be many members, are one. So as we are entering into our personal relationship with God, and even though we may be individually in our booths, we are corporately being put together and fused together as one. You know, thank God that He took sin consciousness out of us. Thank God that we can look at one another and see the Christ, the anointed of God, who we are, and not look at the shortcomings or the faults or the failures of each other. Thank God for that. Or just because one may believe a little differently, we don't want to throw them out. And we don't look at the church and want to condemn and judge them, because we know that they are where God has them. And they cannot see no further beyond the revelation that God has proposed for them. So that there is no condemnation, there is no judgment in this body. There is only unconditional love. As Christ has loved us unconditionally, so we love each other unconditionally. I tell you that God is doing a work beyond what we even see with our eyes. Because I remember in times past being in groups, and when things began to get honest, they'd splinter and divide. Or because they didn't like somebody's personality or the minister's personality, they would split and divide. And I can look around in this little town we live in, and there's all kinds of churches that have split. Same denomination, just going down the road, built them a new church because they didn't agree with the others, but the same church. And I believe that denominations is one of the most divisive things in the body of Christ. Because everybody says, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Pentecostal, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Methodist, and I'm right. What I see is right. No, it's God. You see, God don't look at those things. We are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. There is not a Baptist heaven or a Presbyterian heaven. I don't know what these people think they're going to do when they get to where they think they're going. But we know we're not going there. The earth is the Lord's, and this is where we're going to be. And there's not going to be any division. There's only one body. If you are Christ, then are you His child. Then you are His son or His daughter or His body. And it teaches us so plainly in the Bible that we are one body with many members, but one body. And whether you see what we see today in the revelation we see, or whether you're stuck on the island of salvation and that's the only revelation that you see, you are still a member of the body of Christ. And because we see what we see does not give us any right to feel like we're holier or more special than anyone else. The only difference is that God has chosen us to be where we are. And beloved, if we had our way, I'd still be back there doing what they're doing. Because they've not walked where I've walked. And that doesn't mean give me, Paul said, the great apostle said, I can only boast in the cross. I am only what I am because of only what God has proposed for me to be. And, that's the thing about it, to accept willingly the place where God has placed you in the body of Christ. You see, God never asks anything of us that He does not give us the ability to fulfill His purpose. He does not ask anything of us. And He has God placed. Why would we want to question God? If I'm the foot, praise God, I'm the foot. Because I'm a part of the body of Christ. And I will function in the function of the foot all of my life if that's where God has placed me. It doesn't matter. If I'm the I have nothing else to boast in. Because it is God that has made me the I. You see, we have to come to the place where we realize that God has proposed and what He has proposed will be accomplished, and that He does not look on anyone with any more respect or love than He does the other. That we are all loved by God as one, as His body. In Ephesians 1 and verse 11 it says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. In the Amplified, in Him we also were made God's heritage or portion, and we obtain an inheritance, for we had been foreordained, chosen, and appointed beforehand in accordance with His purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of His own will. Predestinated, planned beforehand, chosen and appointed beforehand, in accordance with His purpose. You know, why would we question the purpose of the Almighty Creator? When He says that all things work together for good to them who are called according to His purpose, according to His will. He has proposed in Himself. And what God has proposed, that will come to pass. And just as He said there that the manifestation of a son, a corporate man, moving and flowing as one in the spirit and the anointing of the day, God's day and God's hour, speaking out of the realm of God, as God in the earth. That His word, not ours, His word will set creation free. It's according to His divine purpose. And He works out everything in agreement with the counsel or purpose and design of His own will. So we've entered into His rest. We cease from our labor of our grunting and sweating and trying to please God. You know, I've got to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I got to read my Bible every day. I got to pray an hour every day. I can't go here. I can't go there. I can't do this. God set us free, thank God. Hallelujah. He has set us free from the law and the bondage that we were under and brought us into the glorious liberty of the Son of God and into His rest and realizing that He is working out His purpose in us according to His divine will, and that He that hath begun the good work in us is going to complete it. And we are walking in the finished work of Calvary. And it's not up to us. I got news for you. You can grunt, you can sweat, you can labor, but you cannot change yourself. You might wish to, and you might do it for a day, but you'll lapse back into old habits. But I tell you one thing, one word God speaks to us in the Spirit, whether it be thunderous or a whisper, will bring a change, hallelujah, right, in the midst of our lives.
That's correct.
One word spoken with the Spirit will bring a change, bless yeah. God, in our lives. And that's what we need to do, is to realize that God is God, that His purposes have been set forth, that all of His works were finished from the beginning, and that we have entered into His rest, listening for the word to be spoken in the midst of our lives. Because He knows what we can take. He knows what it's going to take to bring us. In other words, He knows how hot the thermometer has to be turned up. He knows how hot it has to be turned up for us to change or to listen. And He's going to do it. He's actually now changing us into His image and into His likeness. But as that relationship is vertical, that relationship is also horizontal. Vertically, we are coming into God consciousness. We are growing into God consciousness. We're getting to know Him as He is. Horizontally, we are walking with each other. We're getting to know each other in the Spirit. We are being fused, hallelujah, together as one in Christ. Not seeing or looking at the outward appearance, but that which is beyond the veil into the spirit realm. To see each other as Christ, as God sees us. Not looking at the outward, but looking at the inward and seeing the Christ in each one, the anointed. And knowing that each one of us are a part of that body. God is fusing together. That there's only one head. The eye is being bent into a sea, as Christ is being revealed in each one of us. And lastly, in Hebrews 6 and verse 17, it says, wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. According as God also, in His desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of His purpose and plan, intervened, mediated with an oath. The word immutability is unalterable or fixed. And the word counsel is God's purpose. So God willing more abundantly in His desire to show more convincingly beyond a doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of His purpose and plan, intervened, mediated with an oath. Hallelujah. God to show the unchangeableness or the immutability or the fixed or the unalterable purposes of God. Now what does that tell me? That God's purpose that He proposed in Himself is unalterable and is fixed. God spoke it. I believe it. That settles it. Hallelujah. That leaves no room for doubt. God's Word says that creation is standing on tiptoes, waiting with outstretched necks, looking for the manifestation of a son in the earth. They don't know what they're looking for. But they're looking for something. They know that something is coming. And we are that something. We are that sun that is going to stand in the earth. That sun only has one head, and that's Christ. Amen. So that tells me that there's no thinking of what I can do or where I can go or what I need to speak or second guessing, but we have become willingly bowed down before the Christ and have accepted Him as the only head of this body. And that out of that realm of eternity, hallelujah, that Son, Ikahona, begins to speak into creation to set creation free, to break the bondage and the curse that has been upon creation all of these centuries since the beginning of time, and to bring about the fulfillment of the purposes of God on the earth. This Son is going to stand as a many-membered body that God has dealt with, walked with, cared for, cultivated, and pointed us into the right direction for the years of our lives. Everything that has touched our lives has been leading us to this time of manifestation. Everything that has touched our lives, God's had a hand in it. And we are entering into His rest. We're entering into that relationship of trust and faith in Him, that His work is being accomplished in the midst of us. And we're entering into relationship with one another, that we are becoming one. Though many members, the world don't understand that, but many members, we are one, and will function as one in the earth, with no division, no schism, no rent, no differences. We see things many times different. We're individuals. God did not make man as one or same personality. That's the spice of life. We all have different personalities. But when it comes to the anointing of the Christ, we're coming together as one. And God's purposes are unalterable. They cannot be changed. Thank God. What He said, He meant. And what He meant, He said. And what He said will come to pass. He said the rain comes down and it accomplishes that it comes to accomplish. So is my word. It goes forth and it does not return until it has accomplished that it was sent to accomplish. And I tell you, His word is being spoken in the midst of us in this hour that is causing us to be changed into His likeness and His image and putting on the divine image and nature of God. That we are becoming more and more like Him. Well, you people say, well, you sure don't look like it. It don't matter. What they see is an exterior, a body of flesh and blood that at the sound of that last trump is going to put on incorruptibleness and immortality. And God's word is going to be fulfilled in our lives. And I say it over and over again, what an awesome, awesome, awesome Father we walk with. Hallelujah, and praise His wonderful name. Amen.